all you did was put a bunch of sound bites in a bucket and just kept on pulling them out. We got Taylor Swift. What else did we get in that?
There was abuse.
Somehow. There was abuse. In
women taking over the
women
country.
Women taking over the country.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the podcast. It's Masters Thursday. So excited.
It's raining.
Yeah, there's a late start out there. I cannot wait. It's Masters week.
Did you watch any of the par three yesterday?
A little bit. Not a lot.
That is always so cute.
It's so cute, it makes me barf.
Yeah.
I will take credit for the win yesterday by Ricky Fowler.
Why? How?
He won the par three tournament yesterday.
Yeah, but why are you taking credit?
He bet the field?
I saw him on Saturday.
Oh.
He was sitting on the sidelines next to the driving range at the Valero Texas Open.
Yeah, so you and 40,000 other people saw
him. He did not make the cut. So he's sitting in the cart, and he then drives past me and my son, and I yell to Ricky, "Hey, Ricky, was it a foul or not?" And he goes, "It absolutely was a foul." I said, "That's right. That's exactly right." Because it was a foul. Of course, we're talking about the game on Friday night.
What are you talking about? I have no idea right this second.
Oh.
Are you talking about the women's college game?
It was the, what the hell? Yes.
Okay.
It was a foul.
The illegal screen?
Yeah, it was definitely a foul. There's no
question. Why are you asking Ricky Fowler about it?
Well, that's like crossing
because
streams.
Everybody in the world was watching that game on Friday night.
Okay. And this was Saturday that you saw
it? Yeah, Saturday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. It was absolutely a foul. You still don't call it in that spot. By the way, I thought the women's Final Four was totally awesome. The first quarter of the final game against South Carolina, watching Caitlin Clark go bananas was really a blast. Mm-hmm. And then from there on out, South Carolina was just too good.
Aberration or a trend? That's my question for today.
Yes.
Is the numbers, and the numbers were astronomical, beat the men, as we all know by now. Is this an aberration or is it a trend, Bob?
I think the answer is yes. It's both.
It's both.
It's an upward trend for viewing numbers for the women's game and interest in the women's game because there's more personalities than just Caitlin Clark. But it's an aberration that we're going to have a bump in the numbers just because of Caitlin Clark. So those numbers are going to come back down. I'm going to be more interested to see what happens next year. The problem on the men's side was there was nobody to watch on the men's side. I mean, Zach Edey?
It wasn't exciting.
I mean, he's not exactly a photogenic gentleman. I mean, he's a great basketball player for college, but
And UConn ran through everybody and made the games boring.
And they did so, Walter, without a preeminent superstar. Right?
Yeah.
Like, there was nobody on UConn that you...
There's no Caitlin Clark on those men's teams bombing threes from the half-court line.
So, let me circle to that, because that's the most important thing. What was attractive about Caitlin Clark's game is that she bombed it from everywhere.
Yes.
We talked about this a lot.
Yeah, not driving to the hoop, not pass, unbelievable passing. It's the shooting. We all know that.
There are only a couple of things that are truly exciting to the layman fan in basketball.
Mm-hmm. I'm a layman fan now?
No, just not you. Just anybody.
Bitch.
Your mother-in-law or whatever.
Layperson. Yeah,
all right.
Let's be inclusive.
Okay. One is outstanding shooting from range, and two is extreme athleticism at the rim. Think of what we're seeing right now from Anthony Edwards on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who's putting somebody in the damn bucket every single night. That's the stuff that's entertaining. Unfortunately, with the women's game, that level of athleticism, we're not going to see it, right?
Yeah, we are.
We're going to see women flying to the hoop and slam dunking all of a sudden?
Oh, not that type of athleticism.
Yeah,
Are we going to start to see, here's the thing, is this now going to turn into, and this is what you would like, this is what you're hoping, that all of a sudden we start to see girls shooting threes on the local courts?
Absolutely.
Which is what guys have done now since the... I wouldn't say just because of Steph Curry, but a lot of, with Steph Curry, the game has turned into a three-point contest, which is fine. That brings viewers to the screen. That's what I want to see. Is this going to turn into? Was it just the Caitlin Clark show? Because that's to me, that's all this was about, was Caitlin Clark. We had 18 million people tune in because it was Caitlin Clark, and it was a chance for women to further take control of the country, but really stepped forward. I mean, whether it was Taylor Swift, now it's Caitlin Clark. I think women have just got really tired of men abusing them and leading the way. And they said, screw this. I want to be a part of this country. And they started watching this game and started watching Caitlin Clark and falling in love with Taylor Swift. And now it's, you know, it's a woman's world.
I think you're putting way too much
you think so,
into
huh?
this. Yeah.
I just,
she was an entertaining player. Everybody wanted to watch her.
But who's
men,
that?
Women,
why?
Children.
Why?
Because she's entertaining.
Yeah, and, but why were the number, to me, the numbers increased so much because women started tuning in.
All you did was put a bunch of sound bites in a bucket and just kept on pulling them out. We got Taylor Swift. What else did we get in that?
There was abuse.
Somehow. There was abuse. In
women taking over the
women
country.
Women taking over the country.
Yes. That was amazing. Man, you're on the wrong podcast.
Look at
Call Joe Rogan.
Dawn Staley, throw her into the mix. What a class act that woman is. I mean, after the game, for her to just go out there and praise Caitlin Clark and what she has done for the women's game, you don't see that.
It was awesome. It was awesome. That whole thing was awesome.
Yeah, and it is, again, aberration. The ratings are going to come back down. I mean, that game way outdrew the men's game.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like we're going to go watch the WNBA now because she's in it. It's not going to happen.
Ooh, I don't know, buddy. I think if Caitlin Clark keeps playing like this, people are going to watch the WNBA to see her do
maybe
it.
Maybe a little bit more, but it's
we're
not going to get the
And that's going to be the problem because what is she going to be a really good player in the WNBA as? Is it going to be the bombing threes from the logo? I don't think so. I think she's going to be a preeminent passer and a distributor of the ball. And to Wally's point, that's not sexy to the average layperson viewer.
It's not going
to
bring me to the screen. I don't care. So, oh, those are great passes. We got to watch her play. I'm not interested.
So there will be a bump at the beginning of the season. It's kind of like, you know, the first episode of a new series that you want to watch. And if it's not good, we're all going to go away.
We're gonna have to be told that it's really great to watch Caitlin Clark in the WNBA for us to go there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because we're not gonna go there by ourselves. Somebody's gonna have to grab our hand and say, "Come this way, Wally."
That first game of Indiana with Caitlin Clark is gonna. Who has the rights to WNBA? Is it ESPN?
I have no idea.
If ESPN or whoever has the rights, that is a primetime game. On their network.
Yeah,
I think people, so too. And people will go watch that first game.
All right, enough on that.
Let's
right?
move on.
Unless
yes.
you have other things.
No, I'm done. Go.
Okay. The UConn final, obviously not very interesting. Let's talk about Zach Edey and his draft prospects. I don't think he was ever going to be a first-round draft prospect, and people said that he lost draft stock by that performance in the final. I don't agree with that at all. I think he's... maybe a second-round draft pick.
He's
in
a
this.
Plotter.
Yeah.
He's just a plotter. I mean, you compare him to Wemby, and it's not even close.
No, he's much more like Boban.
But he's bigger than Wemby for sure. He's just a huge man
he's
in there.
He's thick.
So yeah. he's going to be an NBA player. I'd draft him.
On the Spurs?
No, not necessarily on the Spurs.
I can't believe Spurs fans think he makes sense in San Antonio.
No.
I mean,
he would slow you down.
Yeah. What do you want him for? Yeah.
He's a poor down player, and that's it.
You would draft Edey in the first round.
I don't know about that.
Is that what you just said?
No.
No, I was talking to Wally.
No, I would not.
Okay.
But somebody probably will.
And somebody will use him 8 to 12 minutes a game, and he'll be fine in those 8 to 12 minutes. But if you're looking for him to be some sort of a star, forget it. It's not going to happen. He's too slow a foot. You saw the way UConn abused him when he had to go into drop coverage on the pick and roll. Yeah. It's just, he's not quick enough to play defense in the NBA. Period, end of sentence. Speaking
Agreed.
Of NBA players in that game, right. And there's always on an NCAA champion, a couple of guys that you didn't know were going to be NBA stars, and they turn out to be. And that's part of why these teams win. What about Stephon Castle? Did he impress y'all this tournament? Because
sure.
I'm starting to think that he might be a guy the Spurs would target wherever they pick early in that first round. They need a guard. His defensive prowess was unbelievable all season. I mean, he shut down the Purdue guards in that game almost by himself. I like the way he gets to the hoop. He has a little bit of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to his game. Keep an eye out for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got no idea. I don't know who they'll pick. I don't know who's going to be coming out. Who knows? that's a discussion for another day. But if you want to stick to the Spurs,
yep.
I didn't care about last night's game, so I paid no attention to it, and rightfully so. They were down by 40 at some point last night. The issue for me is Wemby, is he the defensive player of the year? And I think this is an interesting debate because right now he is not the favorite. Rudy Gobert is a heavy favorite, and I'm not sure I understand why.
How heavy do you have the numbers on that?
I think he's plus 1300 and, or what? I'm sorry. I think he's minus 1300. I don't know. I have to look at it.
Okay.
But it's a good distance. And I heard last night during one of the games, on ESPN, the play-by-play announcer said about Gobert, he's probably the NBA's defensive player of the year. And I thought, I don't understand this. Why is he the guy when Wemby has, and listen, the Spurs defense is terrible. We all know that. The numbers point that out. It's terrible. When he's on the floor, it's a different story. We got to keep that in mind as well. But Wemby's numbers are so overwhelming defensively that, as I said to Bob before we started the podcast, it's like a Major League Baseball player on a last place team that has 60 home runs and 175 RBIs.
Yeah.
You know, it's been an incredible season. There's no way you can't leave him off the ballot. So, to me, Wemby's the defensive player of the year. He's obviously the rookie of the year. There's no question about that. And I'm surprised. I would put a bet down on Wemby being the defensive player of the year.
I have one number that operates against Wemby as defensive player of the year, and that right. number is 60. And that's the number of losses the Spurs have right now. And while I agree with the whole concept of, yeah, his defensive numbers and defensively he's a force on the court and that puts him head and shoulders defensively as an individual player over the others, but 60.
He is the most game-changing singular defender in the league. That I don't think that's an argument. I mean, I watched him the other night stop a 3-on-1 fast break. Did you see this a couple nights ago, guys? Which game was it? It was just a couple nights ago when the Spurs actually won. Memphis. It was the Memphis game. Memphis had a 3-on-1, and Wemby was the guy back underneath the hoop. And Memphis was like, nah, shit, I don't want to challenge him at the rim. You do it. And then they kicked it out to the corner, and they wind up getting a layup later. But Wemby stopped a 3-on-1 fast break by himself. Okay? He is the best individual defender in the league. Does that equate to him being the defensive player of the year? I think it does, but I can also understand the other side of the argument, which is it isn't parlaying into victories, and it has for Rudy Gobert. And by the way,
this is an individual award. That's what I don't understand. It's not we're not basing this on team defense. This is strictly an individual award. And for years, they didn't give the award to Bruce Bowen, who was the best on-ball defender in the league. Why didn't he ever win it? Because there's no numbers to back up what he did. Wemby's got the numbers. I mean, listen to this. Wemby leads Gobert in steals and blocks 332 to 196. It's not even close.
Wow.
That's the thing. It's not even close. Now, here's the other side of this. So I looked this up. I go, wow. I said, this must be incredible numbers for Wemby for blocks. It's not. It's not even close. And this surprises me about this whole thing.
What do you mean there?
So if I asked you, who is the all-time single-season leader in blocks, and what do you think that number would be?
It would be Mark Eaton.
It is Mark Eaton.
And he averaged like 5, maybe.
He had 456 blocks in the 84-85 season.
What was his average then? Well, divided by 80.
Who cares? Here's Wemby's number is 252. It's not even close.
No, it's not.
So that's what I'm thinking. A guy that's 7'4", and he's got two. He's not even in the top 10 single season numbers of all time, which is mind-boggling to me for a guy who's, you know, 7'4" and can move like the wind.
And it seems like he blocks every shot that he sees.
So, Mark Eaton must have been doing like 10 a game.
How stupid were people to keep challenging him?
I don't know. I know. But no player has ever won the award more than 4 times in his career. You would expect at this point, whenever Wemby wins it his first time, he should win it for the next 10 seasons.
Well, that's just it. Is if he doesn't win this season, they're going to name the award after him for the next 10 years.
All right, so here's the two things against Wemby. One is that the Spurs crap on the media constantly. So if the media don't vote for Wemby, I can certainly understand why. The other one is that this isn't a all-time defensive season by Wemby. It's just not. I mean, Mark Eaton just, I mean, his numbers just are, they dwarf what Wemby's doing right now. So I can see that too. And plus a rookie candidate has never won Defensive Player of the Year. Is Wemby the guy that should win it? I don't know.
God, I mean.
I'm not going to say you're crazy, but I think you're wrong.
About
him being Defensive Player of the Year. You're not crazy, but you're wrong.
So he's not going to win it.
I don't think he's going to win it. No.
I don't think he is either, because I think they're going to, for those reasons, I think the Spurs always crap on their media, so the media aren't any in love with the Spurs to vote any of their players good stuff, and so.
I don't buy that shit at all. The media loves Wemby. Coast to coast, the media
loves
Wemby.
But they may not want to vote for a Spurs player because the Spurs suck. And I don't mean win-loss record. I mean, they suck to the media.
Well, yeah, but I just don't think that plays into it.
You don't think so, huh?
No, not if you're voting for Defensive Player of the Year for an alien 7'4" guy.
Well, we'll see what happens.
As they put pieces around him going forward, he is going to compete for this award on a yearly basis.
I think he's going to win it every single year, like so, 5, 6, 7 years in a row.
Like 10 years in a row, he should.
So let's be okay with waiting.
I guess.
So the biggest thing to me is not giving it to a rookie.
Not to me, it's not. I don't care about that.
Okay. You know that matters.
It does. It does matter.
And I think that may be the biggest thing is, are we going to give it to Wemby as the first rookie ever to win Defensive Player of the Year? And how my thinking would be, if you vote against him, you would think, well, how can I give it to a rookie? He's not even close to, he's not even almost, it's almost half of a season that Mark Eaton brought to the table.
Yeah.
And I wasn't Eaton's rookie year, but you get the idea.
But his numbers dwarf
Gobert's.
Gobert's.
Who is the current favorite? Here's the other thing on the Spurs that I put down here. Yeah. Spurs obviously gave a lot of their guys off last night. And if you didn't know this already, you should have known. You should never, ever, ever buy a Spurs ticket on the road, ever, because you don't know what you're going to get.
Hey, but you kind of do. You're going to see a lot of guys in street clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would never buy a Spurs ticket on the road.
No. It's a terrible idea.
No, it's if I'm there specifically to see the Spurs, I'm not. You're taking a chance.
And it's going to be a bad game because the Spurs aren't going to play their studs.
I'm with you.
The Spurs, by the way, tied for third worst record with Charlotte. So I don't know how that tiebreaker works out. It may be a flip of the coin, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
not sure.
Could be.
I'm not sure how that works. But these last two games, for both conferences from top to bottom, these last two games, every team has two games left, are going to be super interesting. There is a lot of flux between at the top, between the play-in, and obviously at the bottom for the lottery, where, you know, the Spurs would like to see Toronto land outside the top six so they could take the pick from Toronto, but that won't be determined until lottery balls are done. So there's just a lot of moving parts right now in the league.
Here's my biggest takeaways from the NBA. First of all, I'll start with the Eastern Conference. What are the Bucks going to be? Are they just going to fizzle out here? Doc Rivers, obviously, it has not worked for Milwaukee. They're a complete mess. The Knicks could catch them, but I don't think you really want to. I think you'd rather stay in the three hole if you're the Knicks. But the Bucks and what happens to them moving forward is fascinating to me.
What's going on with Giannis? How healthy is he? I mean, isn't that the biggest question?
It is, but even if he is healthy, they're crapping all over themselves. And you know what? Frankly, Giannis is always banged up. He's always missing a game or two here and there, always.
And I think it's more than just banged up. I mean, he had the hamstring. Now it's the calf. That
And then next week it'll be the hamstring and it'll be the cap again.
And I heard a commentary about this. When have you ever heard of a player coming back too late from an injury?
Yeah, they don't ever say that.
They don't wait.
No.
Yeah, so he's going to come back and probably too early. And have to play, and we'll see.
And everybody's comparing it to the KD, and they could have the same situation that the Suns had.
The biggest problem that the Bucks had was they had to keep Giannis. Mm-hmm. And to keep Giannis, they had to get Lillard. And that made him happy. And then both of them got extensions, right? And now they're in bed with this tandem, and it's not a good tandem. They don't work well together. Mm-hmm. I do not expect much out of Milwaukee in the playoffs.
But that's fascinating to see where they go. I mean, here they are, 49 and 31. They're a pretty good team. But right now, I don't think anybody would pick the Bucks to come out of the East. Obviously, Celtics are overwhelming. And that's another fascinating story here is the Celtics have an incredible season. They have got to win the championship. There's no doubt about it. They have got, this is their chance. This is that group's opportunity to win an NBA championship. Because you got to think, if you're a Celtics fan, hey, if we don't win it this year, when the hell are we going to win it?
They have the talent to do it. I would expect them to at least be in the finals. But if they play Denver in the finals, I don't know how they match up against Jokic. I have no clue. How do you guard that guy?
Is Denver the easy selection out of the West?
I think it's very easy. I mean, did you by any chance catch what they did to Minnesota in the last 9 minutes of last night's game?
I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't see the end of it.
This is what matters. They ran away from Minnesota, Walter. Mm-hmm. They shot 75% in the last 9 minutes of the game.
I'm not
75%?
That's mind-blowing.
Yes, that's how you blow a team out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there's anybody else in the West that I would pick to come out of there. Timberwolves are pretenders. I don't think the Thunder have enough. Who knows with the Clippers and Kawhi. I don't think Doncic and although Kyrie Irving is playing unbelievable.
Those are the two teams that are the biggest threat, the two you just mentioned. Dallas and the Clippers.
We'll see. I think the Nuggets can beat both of them.
I think they can, too, and I think they will.
Okay.
That's all I got. And I think Boston's getting through the East, and I can't wait for that matchup because I have no idea who wins between Boston and Denver.
I think the other fascinating story is how far can Jalen Brunson take the New York Knicks?
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating for Knicks fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, he's playing on an incredible level, and to me is – You could easily make him the MVP if you wanted to, because without him, the Knicks would be a lottery team. He's just Jalen Brunson. I mean, we saw it at the Frost Bank Center that night, 60 points or whatever the hell it was.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Anything else on the NBA?
No.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
All right. Masters. Yes. Who do you got?
My pick is Wyndham Clark.
Wow, that's an interesting one.
Okay. I think he's going to be going to be the player of the year. I've seen him in a couple of tournaments. Very impressive. That's my pick.
He hits a high cut. I'm not sure how well that works around Augusta. You need to be able to turn the ball right to left on a couple of holes.
I just don't want John Rahm to win. I don't like John Rahm.
Why don't you like John Rahm?
He's a live guy. Get him out of here. I can't root for any of those guys.
And that was going to be my pick. I'm going to pick any player that plays on a LIV tour.
That's your pick?
I'll take that field. It's going to be a LIV player.
Oh, okay.
I will bet heavily against that. Those guys fuck around way too much to get serious at this event.
There is one that doesn't.
Rahm?
Rahm, Koepka.
Joaquin Niemann would be another one, by the way, to watch out for.
And is only playing in the Masters by special invitation.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have a high enough ranking.
Yep. Yeah. I like Scottie Scheffler, and I like Scottie Scheffler by a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
of course.
That's like picking UConn in the NCAA tournament.
It is a little bit, but I just think Scheffler is primed. He wants another green jacket. He's ready.
Yeah, that's a good bet. It's plus 460.
Sure. Yeah, I saw that.
Wow.
I saw that. Sneaky guys that you might want to bet on, although I guess it's too late. Corey Connors, Joaquin Niemann, I mentioned. Denny McCarthy, I think, could be interesting. He's been hot lately.
We ran into Denny McCarthy at the Valero Texas Open. He hit a I think it was his second shot. Second shot came into the crowd, scooted right past us. He comes over and he says to all of us, "Everybody okay here?" One patron or whatever you call him, got hit. He says, "Let me make the shot and I'll take care of you." So he makes his shot. There's another guy up ahead that is out of my view, so I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's shot or whatever. I didn't even think about it. And so Denny McCarthy starts to sign the glove, and he's walking over to the guy to give it to him. And I turn to Denny McCarthy, and I'm about 10 feet away. I go, "Hey, Denny," I said, "was that a foul last night or not?"
Oh, my God.
That was a theme that I had just on Saturday. And so...
What did he say?
He shushed me because the other guy was still playing over in Pearl.
What are you doing? God.
The Valero had a great ending.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Absolutely awesome. It was the Texas Open.
And it was just a great field.
Yes. Best Saturday ever.
Saturday we had me and my son, we had an absolute blast. So thank you, Stephanie Sage, the PR person over there at the Valero Texas Open for getting me a credential.
The Valero Texas Open, way more entertaining and lived way past the hype versus the solar eclipse, which was cloudy and a major letdown for me.
I engage in so much Schadenfreude on Monday.
Did you?
I did. It was so amazing.
Why, were you working?
No, I wasn't working. I was kind of bouncing around, but it was like... all you people, because the downtown was fat stupid with people.
Was it?
All weekend.
Fat stupid?
Fat stupid with people.
Okay.
And I'm like, and I'm watching, and I'm watching the clouds. I'm going, and all the traffic's going to be bad, and blah, 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 and then nothing.
Yeah.
I was at the O.P. Schnabel Park over on Bandera Road, requested by the folks at YMCA, so I brought Wally's poo truck out there. I had no idea what to expect. They had no idea what to expect. So it turns out I ended up selling 40 subs there. I completely missed the whole damn thing.
I
couldn't get out of the truck. You know, the fascinating thing was it got dark, really dark, but it really only got, to me, it was thunderstorm dark.
Yeah.
It gets dark like that all the time around here in the summertime.
When the thunder clouds roll in,
dark like that. Yeah. I go, wow. And I think the most fascinating thing to me was how quickly it went from light to dark back to light again.
That is exactly what I thought was interesting. Because, you certainly see the sun go down every single night, but it's gradual and over hours to see it go down.
Bob didn't like the. Bob thought the way you said that was funny.
In breaking news, the sun goes down every night.
Oh, I thought you meant a sun goes down.
Oh, man. No, come on.
All right, I got a couple more things I want to get to.
Go ahead, Bob.
I have one observation. I never knew this until yesterday. I did not know that LIV actually stood for something.
Yeah. What does it stand for?
54.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Real quick. The Masters dinner was on Tuesday night, which to me is fascinating. I would pay more money to go to the Masters dinner than I would to go watch the Masters, because first of all, they take your phone away from you, so you can't take any pictures of anything.
Which is awesome. It's one of the.
It's not awesome. It's not awesome for a fan.
It is awesome.
That takes away from it. I'd like to go and take pictures.
You're wrong. Have you been there and done it?
No, of course not.
Let me tell you why it's awesome then, because I have. It is so cool to be sitting in a crowd of, we'll just say, 6,000 people around a green, and nobody is looking at their phones. Nobody is trying to video the damn thing. Everybody is concentrated on what's actually happening.
I like to take pictures of things that and events that I'm at.
Fuck that.
Sorry.
Overrated.
All right, so here's what I brought. I wanted to bring up. Go ahead.
So, picture story to go back to the eclipse. Did you hear by Mexican TV?
No.
Apparently,
Apparently,
as they were doing a picture of the eclipse, they had taken a bunch of eclipse pictures from people, like user generated content, and one of them was apparently a pair of testicles.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's hilarious.
Anyway, talking about pictures.
All right, so Tuesday night was the big Masters dinner. So if you're a winner of the Masters, what's on the Masters menu? Because obviously you get to make the menu. What's on the menu, Jeff?
Oh,
Bexler?
My God. You should have prepped me for this. Ahi tuna.
Okay. That's your main dish right there? Ahi tuna?
No. It's probably an appetizer, like an ahi tuna salad.
Okay.
I'm going to do some bone marrow I'm going to finish with steaks. That's for sure. 100%. Wagyu beef.
Can't we keep this simple, please?
Would you ask the fucking question, guy?
Appetizer. Give me a main. Your main course would be
the steak.
The steak.
Yeah.
Particular
Wagyu
steak.
Wagyu beef. Wagyu ribeyes.
Oh, ribeyes. Okay.
Yep.
All right. A vegetable.
Nah, they're overrated.
All right. A potato, perhaps. A starch.
I would probably say green beans, maybe okra. Anyway, I'll think about that later. But those are the main. Those are the main.
And a dessert.
Players. Fuck desserts. I'm not that into it.
Holy Christ.
Well, you
that
didn't
was
know,
a terrible list.
I don't like sweets.
So are they allowed to pick illegal food? Like, can they have, like, an endangered species on the menu?
No.
I wouldn't think so. No, they get in all kinds of trouble.
I mean, it's the Masters. They get to do whatever they want, but not that.
They're racist, but they don't go into endangered species.
What was the movie about that? It was The Freshman, where Matthew Broderick plays the kid who gets in with the mafia, and they're serving, like, endangered species on menus.
Oh, I do not remember that.
Anyway, I've never heard of that movie.
So, do you know what was on the menu on Tuesday night?
Yes. It was all Spanish stuff. Because it was John Rahm's menu.
Yeah.
So, mine would be, my appetizer would be mussels in a lemon butter sauce.
Good.
My main course would be a grilled filet mignon. If you want to give me vegetables, I'm taking a caprese salad, and then I'm finishing up with a nice slice of tiramisu.
Okay.
Along with a cup of espresso with a side of Sambuca.
Yeah, it's a very Italian, you're leaning very Italian on this.
Some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd probably go with the menu from the menu.
I don't know what that means. By the way, Vern Lundquist, last broadcast of his career
good.
This weekend.
Good.
Why, you don't like him?
I think Vern Lundquist is one of the most overrated commentators in the history of sports.
Interestingly
enough. It's just that voice you want to hear, though. It's a comforting voice. I'd like to, and it made me think of this, who I would like to bring back, I'd like to hear more from Keith Jackson. I love the sound of Keith Jackson.
That's
going to
be hard since he's dead.
Yes, of course. I'd like to hear the voice of Keith Jackson. No, Oklahoma.
So Friday night, I got to attend the Texas Lutheran University's fundraising gala for their athletic department.
Okay. Vern Lundquist is an alum, obviously.
Hosted by Vern Lundquist for the last 20 years.
Wow.
45 to 55 minute fireside chat with Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, wow.
That must have been fantastic.
It was fantastic. I've been telling this, telling everyone this story. So they're talking about the first season where they're broadcasting NFL football, Bradshaw's first season, and they're on the shit games. They're like the worst crew of CBS's crew. So, like, we're getting nobody. It's like the Detroit Lions and, like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nobody's watching it. So Bradshaw's like, I don't want to learn names and numbers. I don't care. Nobody's watching this. So the first kickoff goes. And Vern Lundquist calls it. He's like, received at the 15-yard line, up the middle, past 25, past 35, down at the 40. Bradshaw's like, yeah, it was a great tackle by Willie Anderson, defensive back at Colby College in Maine. Bradshaw's like, there's no Willie Anderson. He made up the player.
He just made it up?
He made up the player.
Wow, that's funny.
Because he's like, his point was, on the kickoff, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
The kicker and the receiver. Everyone else, if they were good enough, they'd be starters, but they're not, so who cares? So he does this for the rest of the season.
Wow.
And the producer finally calls Colby College in Maine for whatever reason.
Oh, no.
And the SID from Colby College, the first words out of his mouth after he hears, you know, I'm such and such a producer with CBS Sports, he's like, what are you people doing there?
Wow, that's funny as hell.
Okay, so
that's good stuff.
Okay, so let me tell you why I don't like Vern Lundquist. And by the way, he seems like the nicest guy in the world. I've heard him on interviews. He seems absolutely like a gentleman.
Okay.
But in Jack's Masters, in Jack's last Masters victory,
uh-huh.
Jack Nicklaus's, 1986, two holes before Vern Lundquist gives that famous, yes, sir, right? That's his most famous call ever. He stole it because two holes earlier, Ben Wright, thank you. Ben Wright, when Jack Nicklaus makes a putt, says, yes, sir, in his British accent. And two holes later, Vern Lundquist does it again, and it's Vern's most famous call ever. Give me a break.
Okay. All right, I get it. Well, without all that being said, the Sports Emmys are May 21st. Your play-by-play guys, your nominees are Mike Breen, Joe Buck, Kevin Harlan, Mike Tirico, Ian Eagle. Who are you taking, Jeff Bexler?
I like Mike Breen.
Taking Mike Breen. I am also taking Mike Breen. How about you, Bob?
How do you not like Tirico?
I do like Tirico. That doesn't mean I don't like the others.
He would be my last guy on the list, Mike Tirico.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything for me.
And Joe Buck. Joe Buck's good.
He's all right.
Joe Buck I can't stand because he's a St. Louis Cardinal guy, so screw him. Kevin Hart. Kevin Harlan is good, you know.
No, he's not.
Kevin right Harlan. Through the heart.
Kevin Harlan preps all of his stuff. I don't like his shtick.
Okay. And Ian Eagle is fantastic.
He's solid. Yeah. He's very solid.
That would be my list. It'd be Breen, Ian Eagle. I'll give you Joe Buck, Kevin Harlan, Mike Tirico. That's my list.
I am quick running out of time. Let's get through some things here. John Calipari out at Kentucky, now landing at Arkansas. Does this strike you as really freaking weird?
The answer to all your questions is money, money, money. And Kentucky was getting to the point where they hated him.
Yeah, they were. They were both unhappy with each other. It was like a couple that was ready to divorce each other.
And the other thing I heard was Arkansas has a shite ton of NIL money available to them.
Do they? Okay.
Jerry Jones.
There you go. Jerry Jones money. Okay.
Here's the other side of this that would concern us here. Scott Drew. One of the favorites right now to go to Kentucky. Family took a trip to Kentucky yesterday. So Scott Drew, maybe by the time you listen to this today, will have accepted the job at Kentucky.
That's a possibility.
We'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
Speaking of college, Aggies considering bringing back the bonfire.
Yes.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Do it.
It's so stupid. I can't even. It's next level stupid, really.
Real quick, do you think Calipari's going to win at Arkansas?
Sure, why not? He's got to change his ways, though.
Yeah.
You can't be one and done. It doesn't work.
I don't think he's going to. I'll be honest. I don't think he's going to. I think it's going to be a very disappointing tenure.
I mean, college basketball is a weird, college men's basketball is a weird thing right now with the confluence of one and done, NIL money, but you can't.
And the transfers. It's crazy.
You can't win a championship with just your one and dones anymore. So you need this interesting mix between one and dones and guys that have been there for 2 or 3 years and the transfer portal to kind of augment it out. It's a weird beast. And actually, that's Tara Vanderveer from Stanford retires out.
Right.
Because she doesn't want to deal with it. But I listened to an interview with her. She's like, yeah, I thought about retiring about 20 times.
Less than 40% of Texans 18 to 24 are registered voters as of 2022. Shock you?
Yeah, that's terrible.
That is awful, isn't it?
That is an embarrassment.
It really is.
Less than 40%?
Less than 40%. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Last one, I'll give you a couple other ones here.
Okay.
Chauncey Billups made the Basketball Hall of Fame this week. That surprised me. I never, ever thought Chauncey Billups was a Hall of Famer when I was watching him play.
Chauncey Billups should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's just...
He was never that good.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, did he win an MVP that I missed? Nope.
He may. Did he win the Finals MVP before the Spurs won the championship?
He would have won a Finals MVP, sure, but not a season MVP.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. I don't think so. Yeah, me just. I never watched him and say, "Boy, that's a Hall of Famer right there." Nah, I don't get it.
Nope.
And the last one for me, the Cowboys. Obviously, the draft is just a week away now. The fascinating thing about this is Dak. What the hell are they going to do with Dak? And if I'm the Cowboys, I don't sign him. I tell Dak, let's see it. Because if Dak doesn't win a Super Bowl with them this year, then you know what? Cut him, let him go and rebuild and start all over again.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to win a championship with you.
Agreed.
So don't re-sign him. What are they going to do at running back, Wally? You know what? They're going to go draft one.
Yeah. Sure.
They're going to have to draft a running back because they don't have anybody. Their running back room is empty. So they'll draft the running back pretty high, I would think, and let Dak have at it. And if he can win them a Super Bowl, great. Then I'm sure Jerry Jones will be willing to pay him whatever the hell he wants. And if he doesn't, then you know what? I'd cut him, let him go, and start again.
Yep. Start the Trey Lance era.
Yep.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. See what happens.
It's the Cowboys.
Thanks.
Sorry. Everybody's interested in them but you, Bob. I'm sorry.
I'm not. I mean, I'm.
It's okay. You're a 49ers fan. Everybody gets it.
I'm interested in them not succeeding. But I've said it before. I think the NFL becomes more interesting a little bit if the Cowboys are relevant going to the postseason and have postseason success.
Sure. Yeah, because everybody either hates them or likes them.
But they're not going to. I mean, you're going to run this shit back every damn year, and you're going to have the same result.
It's possible. Certainly possible.
All right,
and now they're not even the favorites in their own state. The Houston Texans are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, how about that?
Amazing. Just amazing.
Enjoy the Masters, boys.
Peace out.
All right. Adios. Like and subscribe.
How y'all feel out there? Do you feel good? I said, do you feel good? Come on.
The groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move.
Uh-huh.
I said, the groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move.
Uh-huh.